with all that being said, I just want to say this. It is such a joy to have each and every one of you this morning with us here at Journey Church. And what I want to do is I just want to begin with a word of prayer and ask God to be at work in this message, through this message. And really my heart is that this would not just be a message that sits with us for the next 30 minutes, but my heart is that this would be a message that goes out and lives with us, lives in us for the next several days. So Father, we thank you for this time together today. We just thank you for your word. It's alive, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. God, your word is amazing. And Lord, we just come and we just dive into your word today, and we just ask, God, that you would open up our minds, that you would open up our hearts, that you would be at work, that you would just give us clarity, that you would give us understanding. I just pray that this would make sense to where we live today. And we just thank you, Lord, for your timeless word that is true not only 2,000 years ago, but it's true for us today. It's true right where we live, right here in River Falls, Hudson, wherever we live. Your word is true. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. So how many people are excited about December? Wow, the overwhelming response. Okay, how many would agree with me that this is truly the most wonderful time of the year? About half of you, okay. So I just got to take a survey real quick. How many people have their Christmas tree up already? Put your hands up. Let's do it this way. If you haven't had your tree up, put your hands up. I'm just seeing who I need to talk with after the service. Like, what's the challenge? What are you waiting for? Let's go, okay? The best trees are already taken, so good luck with that. So, hey, Merry Christmas. We're going to have a great time. Here's what I want to do this morning is I want to begin with engagement. I want to begin with everyone getting involved, and I hope we can have 100% engagement. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to count to three, one, two, three, and when I get to three, here's what I want everyone to do is I want everyone to say their name loud enough, at least for the person on your right or your left to be able to hear your name, okay? So is everybody ready? This is a tough one. I understand that. You're going to have to dig deep, but one, two, three. Okay, the meter said we had 73% participation. So let's try one more time on the count of three. I want 100% participation. I want to hear your name. One, two, three. Okay, I was just wanting to hear names, so it's great to hear your name. So I just want to ask this question. Everybody knows their name. That's great. We're taking a step the right direction. How many people know what the meaning of your name is? The meaning of your name. Does anybody know what the meaning of your name is? For example, my given name is Michael, okay? Nobody calls me that except my immediate family, so don't try to get away with that. To you guys, it's Mike. To my beloved family, it's Michael. Does anybody know what that name means? Michael means, check this out, who is like God? Come on now. Talk about having to live up to high expectations. And Heather would attest to this, that doesn't always happen, okay? But I'm giving it my best. Who is like unto God? So how many people know the meaning of your name? Regardless of or whether or not you know the meaning of your name, how many people know that names are super important? Names are super important. When you meet somebody for the first time, what is one of the first things you do? You exchange your names. Your name. You say, my name is. You get their name, and here's the goal. Hopefully the next time you see them, you remember their what? Their name, okay? How many people have a hard time with that? Sometimes you're like, oh, hey, buddy, how are you? That doesn't work. You need to call them by name. So names are super important. Names are the way we identify people. We identify. Heather, Nick, Gabe, Nick. That's how I identify. Olivia, that's how we identify people by their name. So we identify, it also helps us to define those people. When I say Heather, that defines, she's my wife. By the way, last Thursday, December 2nd, Heather and I celebrated 26 years of marriage. Woo! So I hope you're not applauding to me, that's for sure. You're applauding Heather, because she has had a lot to put up with. Anyone who's a pastor's wife, that is a job that's just like, oh, I feel sorry for those people, okay? So anyway, names are important. So why are we talking about names? There's really a purpose in this, okay? We're going somewhere with this. Why are we talking about names? Because as we move into the Christmas season, by the way, I believe it's the most wonderful time of the year. What I want to do during the Christmas season here at Journey Church, which includes today, next week, the 19th, and then on Christmas Eve we'll conclude, is I want to look at four different names. And these are four different names that were given to Jesus, okay? And the really cool thing about this is these names were not given to Jesus after he was born. Most of us, we give our kids their names a day or two after they're born. But these names were given to Jesus, believe it or not, 700 plus years before he was born. Before he was born in the small town of Bethlehem, these names were given to Jesus, okay? And these names that we're going to look at are found in the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Who's Isaiah? He's one of the five major prophets in the Old Testament. And Isaiah is prophesying to God's people of the coming of Jesus Christ. And in the coming, he says, hey, this is the one who's coming, and these are the names that will identify who he is and what he does, okay? So I want to look at the passage today, which is Isaiah chapter 9, and all we're going to do today is look at two verses. We're going to look at verse 6, and we're going to look at verse 7. So let's look at verse 6. Isaiah writes these words. He says, for a child is born to us. I want you to see that, to us. It's personal. You, me, us. And we're going to look at that more at the end. A child is born to us. A son is given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders. And he will be called, and here's the names, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7, his government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness. He will rule with justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all of eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heavenly armies will make this happen. So what we see in this text is Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus even came to Bethlehem in a manger, we see that Isaiah says, this is what you're going to call him. You're going to call him Wonderful Counselor. You're going to call him Mighty God. You're going to call him Everlasting Father. You're going to call him the Prince of Peace. So what I want to do today is I want to focus on this very first name. Today we're going to look at his name is Wonderful Counselor. So what does that mean? Because we've heard these verses, if you've been around the church, even in the Christmas setting in the world, we hear these verses most every Christmas, multiple times, even on TV. So today we're going to look at Wonderful Counselor, but what does this mean? And what we're going to do to answer this question is I want to take a look at each one of these words. First, we're going to look at Wonderful, then we'll conclude by looking at Counselor, okay? So what does that word wonderful mean? Because in today's culture, we have a very low view of the word wonderful. We have a very low view of the word wonderful. We say things are wonderful if we like them. If we like these things, we say, wow, that was wonderful. Okay? How many people know this is going to be wonderful? A zinger on a Sunday morning in church. Can I take a bite? Sorry, Brooke. I want to let you guys know that was wonderful. You wouldn't believe it. I'm so sorry you're missing this. Talk to your neighbor. I need a drink of water, man. Oh, Finley, that was wonderful. Oh, that was so good. That's how we use the word wonderful in today's culture. If we like something, we say, oh, that was wonderful. So we kind of cheapen the meaning of the word, okay? But if you look at this word wonderful in the original context, is in the Old Testament, And as many of you know, the Old Testament was written in the what language? The Hebrew language, right? And in the Hebrew language, this word is very, very unique. So I want to just put on the screen the meaning of the word wonderful in the Hebrew language. And I don't want you to miss this, so please focus in on the definition of this word wonderful. Wonderful is a word that usually applied to something that could have only been done by an act of God. Okay, does everybody got that? Wonderful isn't something we could do or hostess could do. Wonderful was something that only could be done by an act of God. It goes on to say this, it was something that was so unusual that it would have been beyond human capabilities. So I want you to get this. Please don't miss this. This is super important to where we're heading this morning. Wonderful means it's a God thing. It's an act of God. Wonderful means it's beyond your abilities. You couldn't have pulled this off. It is a God thing. It is wonderful. Perhaps the phrase that we would use today to describe this is wonderful is something that is what? Everybody say it together. Out of this world. That's wonderful. It's out of this world. It's a God thing. It's beyond our own abilities. And perhaps that's the word we need to look at. So what in the world, what is there in this world that's wonderful? I want you to think about it. Look at those two definitions. What is it that's wonderful? Okay? Well, for starters, I want to say this, and not just because we're in church, but because it's reality, and that is that Jesus is wonderful. You got it this morning? Jesus is wonderful. I mean, just think of the fact he's wonderful, the fact that he is what? Fully God, fully man. That's wonderful. 100% God, 100% man, all in one person, Jesus. That's wonderful. What else is wonderful? The fact that we're here celebrating Christmas. We're celebrating what? The virgin birth. Think about that. A virgin birth. That's wonderful. Come on now. Doesn't take much to figure it out. That's wonderful. Here's what else is wonderful. The power to heal that we see throughout the Gospels that Jesus had, that's wonderful. His amazing teachings are wonderful. I thought of one of the teachings of Jesus this week. It says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. How many people know that's wonderful? That's beyond your human capability. That's only something that God can do. That's out of this world, his teachings. What else is wonderful? There's the verse of Luke 6:27. His perfect life. We believe that Jesus lived a sinless life. For 33 years, he didn't have a wrong thought. He didn't have a wrong motive. He didn't do a wrong action. He was perfect. He was sinless. That, my friends, is wonderful. One other thing that's wonderful, and that is the resurrection from the dead. Something that was only a God thing. Something that only God can do. How many people would say that's wonderful? Anyone? Okay, good. I'm glad you're here this morning. That's wonderful. So all these things are, we would say, are past tense. All these things are things that Jesus has already done. They're wonderful. That's why we come to church. We celebrate. We applaud. We say, Jesus, we remember. But I want to let you know that all those things are past tense, but there's things that Jesus still wants to do today. There's still things that Jesus wants to do today that we could label as wonderful. There's things that only Jesus can do. There are only things that are an act of God beyond our ability out of this world, okay, that are wonderful. So let me ask you a question. Is there anyone who needs God to do something wonderful in your life? Is there anyone who needs God to do something wonderful in your life, your personal life? Is there anyone in this room today that you need God to do something wonderful in your marriage, in a relationship, Is there anyone in this room today that you need God to do something wonderful, only something he could do beyond your abilities, out of this world? Is there something you need to, for God to do wonderful in your family? Maybe it's with a parent. Maybe it's with one of your children. You need God to show up and do some wonderful things. How many people are open for God to do something that is beyond your ability? You couldn't have done it. You can't do it. If you could, you would have already done it. You've tried. It didn't work. You need God to do something wonderful. You need God to do something out of this world. So when I read these definitions this week in my preparation time, I want to let you know what happened in my personal life. There was this what I want to call just this birth of faith. Just faith began to grow inside of me. And I really believe God beginning to kind of speak to me through his word, saying, Mike, there are wonderful things that I still want to do today in your life, in your marriage, in your family. And so what I've been doing all week is in my prayer time is I've been just coming and asking God, I'm believing for you to do wonderful things. How many people believe that God still wants to do some wonderful things? Do you have faith to believe today that God still wants to do some wonderful things? Do you have faith to believe that? So what I'm doing is I'm spending more time in prayer, asking, because my prayer life was kind of, I was in a dry spot. Have you ever been there in your prayer life where you just kind of ran out of gas and you needed another boost? Well, this week in the study of this message, I got a new, fresh boost to pray for God to do wonderful things. So I'm praying for Journey Church like never before, just saying, God, do wonderful things. And you say, Mike, what would be wonderful things that God could do at Journey Church? I can think of three things specifically that I would love to see God do that are beyond my ability, that are out of this world, that only he could do. First of all, a wonderful thing in my life or in my perspective would be this. Somebody who chooses to follow Jesus, that's wonderful. Meaning they turn their life and say, I'm no longer the one in charge. It's not going to be me that I'm living for. It's not going to be my agenda. I really want to give my life fully to Jesus. That, my friends, is I would say, yay, God. Amen? Yay, God. That's what I want to see. That's what I'm praying for in this church, that we're not just coming to Sunday services. It's so much bigger than that. What I'm praying for is, God, get a hold of hearts, get a hold of lives. So it's like, God, I don't want my will. I want your will. It's not my agenda. It's your will that I'm pursuing. That's what I'm praying for at Journey Church. Number two, I'm praying for people to be delivered. There's people that are saved, yes. You're going to heaven, yes, but there's still things in your life that you have to be delivered from. There's people that are still dealing with past hurts, past habits, past hang-ups, and those things. Yes, you're a believer. Yes, you're going to heaven, but you're stuck. And God is wanting to do more in your life. He's wanting to use you in a greater way, but you're just in a place that's just yucky, stucky. I don't know if that's a word, but you get the point. And that's what I'm praying for. God, do wonderful things at Journey Church. I pray that if there's junk in your life that's holding you back, I pray for deliverance. I'm praying for you because I love you, and more importantly, God loves you. And there's people in the sound of my voice in this room online where you're stuck, and I want you to be delivered. That would be wonderful. A lot better than a Hostess Twinkie. You know what I mean? Here's one more. I'm praying that people get healed. I'm praying for healing because I know I can't do that for you. But how many people know that's a God thing? It's beyond my abilities. It's out of this world. It's wonderful. And I want people to get healed. There's people, you need a physical touch from God. A physical touch from God. You need healing. But there's also other types of healing that I believe people in this room need to have, and that is there's people that need emotional healing. Anxiety, healing from anxiety and worry and all those things. All that is available still today through the person of Jesus. Why? Because his name is wonderful. And he wants to do some amazing things in our lives. So let me ask you today, is there anyone that wants God to do something wonderful in your life? Just say, that's me. All right, Heather's there. Let's go. I'm with you. Let's go. We're in this together. Seriously, let's do this right now. I want to just totally be more show a little more spontaneity, and I want us to bow our heads right now. Here's the cool thing. I don't need to know what you need in your life, in your family, in your marriage. Here's the cool thing. God knows all things. He's the wonderful counselor. Most counselors you got to go and talk to, and we can talk to Jesus, absolutely. But here's the thing. He already knows. He knows your past. He knows your present. And he even knows your future. So, Lord, I just pray for all those who said, yes, I need something wonderful in my life. Lord, may there just be a birth of faith that would rise up within us. May little faith become greater faith. May little faith become greater faith. To believe, Jesus, that you still do these things, that you are the same. Everybody say it together. Yesterday, today, and forever. You're the same. You change not. And Lord, I pray for those who need something wonderful. Lord, we come to you and ask that you would do the things that only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm not here just to preach a sermon. I'm here to help you. I'm not here to entertain. I'm not here to do a performance. There's a lot of people who can do better performances. We're here. We want to help you. And I just really feel God's spirit throughout the week to say, Mike, encourage people. Encourage people. Build people up. Give people hope that I'm a God that does wonderful things still today. And he wants to do those things in your life. And I believe that with all my heart. I will die for that, the hope that there's God wants to do wonderful things today. So here's what I want you to do. If you said yes, I don't want you to stop. I want you to begin to pray this week. I want you to begin to pray with boldness. And with boldness, say, God, in your word, you are wonderful. Do wonderful things in my life. I'm open to you. Amen. We need to move on. I want to be done right at 10:30. Okay. Second word I want to look at today is this word counselor. Counselor. So what is a counselor? If you were to look up that word counselor in a dictionary or a lexicon or whatever your source of information is, you would find there's a lot of different definitions that they fit perfectly to what a counselor is and what they do. But there's one word in particular, that I want to look at today, and that is that our counselor provides us with, let's all say this word together, guidance. That's what a counselor does. We go see counselors, what? We want guidance in our life. We go to a marriage counselor, we want guidance. We go to a financial counselor, we want guidance. That's what a counselor does. It provides guidance. And I think it's safe to say, I'm pretty sure it's safe to say that we all need guidance from time to time. I know some of you are super sharp, and I know some of you are really put together, more so than me. But you know what? I would say that we all need guidance from time to time. We need guidance that will keep us on the path that God has for our lives. Let me ask this question, and please don't respond out loud. But do you believe that God has a path for your life? Do you believe that God has a divine path, a specific path for you? I do. And that's why I believe we need guidance from time to time. And we need that because it's not always easy. Because what's easy, it's easy to drift. It's easy in this world that we live in to be distracted from God's best. So I don't know about you, but this guy needs a counselor. Mike needs a counselor. He's messed up. Somebody that's going to give me guidance because I get distracted in this world. All the news, all the media, all the things that are going on, I get distracted and I need a counselor. And I'm so thankful that I have a counselor who is the wonderful counselor who provides me and provides us with the guidance that we need for each and every day, for each and every situation. And I want to let you know that Jesus provides us with guidance. And I think there's several ways, but we're going to touch on one big one. Let's just talk about two in passing. I believe he provides us guidance through the person of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit? He gives you guidance. I know there's times where I'm thinking about something and the Holy Spirit's like, no, that's not a good direction for you to go even in your thought life. Or I'm thinking about saying something and the Holy Spirit's like, oh, no, that's probably not a good thing for you to say. That's the Holy Spirit. That's even in our conscience, the Holy Spirit works. He gives us guidance. Another good source of guidance, by the way, is good counseling from other people. I'm not excluding good counsel from other people. Here's what I would say to you and to me and to my kids, to all of us. Make sure the counsel you're getting in your time of needing guidance and direction and help, make sure that it's biblically based counseling. I think that's super important. I believe it's important that you're going to people that are speaking the truth into your life and giving you right guidance, right direction. We can go to some people that can give us some bad guidance. So I just want to give you a heads up, be careful. But I think the primary way that God has given us for guidance, for counsel, is through, everybody say that word together, Scripture. God has given us Scripture to provide us with guidance. Look at this verse, guys. It's a great verse taken out of Psalms. Psalms 119, 105. It says, your word is a lamp to do what? To guide my feet and a light to my path. So the psalmist is saying, hey, God, your word, Scripture, is a guide. You're going to guide me where to go through Scripture. I think of it this way. On your phone today, if you're like me, most of us have an app on our phone. It's called Maps. How many have the Maps app? Raise your hand if you have the Maps app. What are the rest of you doing? Come on now. This makes it so simple. So here's how it works. You hit the Maps app, you hit it on, and it says search for location, okay, which is super handy. So the Monday before Thanksgiving, Heather and I went to visit Alcoa, Tennessee. Has anybody ever been to Alcoa, Tennessee? By the way, Alcoa High School just won their seventh straight high school football championship this last Friday night, okay? Just FYI, okay? We were there for the playoffs. It was really cool. But anyway, Alcoa. We're like going to Alcoa. That's where Heather's sister lives. It's a journey of 937 miles. You go through five different states to get there. And I love that we can just put in her sister's address, and it's going to help us to get from where we are to where we want to be. Has everybody got this? And I love it because as you put this thing on your dashboard, you get these different voice commands. You know the commands. For example, hey, exit on exit 23 or 234B. Okay, I love that. Remember the days of the map on the lap? How did we do it when it was dark outside? And then when you had a pop in your hand, it was like, oh no. But now you just have a voice saying, hey, exit 234B, 1 mile. You're like, yes, that's great. Or you hear the command, make the second left at the second light. You're like, awesome. Or if you even look at the app, it says, hey, speed limit in this area is 55. And Heather's like, I thought it was 70. And then there's this other command that I don't like to hear. When I hear this command, I want to take this thing and put the window down and throw it out the window. And that is every once in a while you hear the command, return to route. How many people know what I'm talking about? Return to route. I liken that to Scripture. When we understand where we want to go, more importantly, where God wants us to go. How many people know we can open the Bible? We can open to the teachings of Christ, to Scripture. And it tells us very clearly, exit, turn left, second light. I'm not talking specifically. You get the point. He tells us certain things that we need to do to get us to where we want to arrive to. And I tell you what, I can't tell you how many mornings I've opened up God's word, and as I was reading, I could hear Mike return to route. Meaning, Mike, you've kind of gotten off the path. You've kind of lost direction. I want to be your counselor. And through my word, I want to show you how to get back to the place that will lead you to a place of health and victory and abundance. So I just want to speak to us today, folks. We need to make sure that we're listening to the wonderful counselor. His counsel is wonderful, and his counsel is given to you through Scripture. So in conclusion, what I want to say today is I want to say this. I have some wonderful news. And if you go back to the very beginning of our text this morning, look at what the text says. The text says this, for unto us is born, unto us. He says it twice, to us is given. What's he saying? To you. You have the counselor with you in the person of Jesus. Through his word, we have this counsel that's available to us. But here's the deal. It's available to us. The road that's going to lead us to the place where we want to go, it's not always easy, but it's always going to be good. Even though that direction's given to us, you have a choice. You have a choice. You can acknowledge the counselor, or you have a choice that you could just ignore the counselor. You can acknowledge and say, okay, Lord, I've read in your word, or I hear your voice. I've read in your scripture. I hear what you're saying to me, Lord. I'm going to acknowledge it because I know you love me, and I know what you have for me is the best, that you want the very best for me. I'm your child. You're his child. He wants the best. And you can acknowledge that, or you can just say, you know what? I got this one. I got it. Lord, I don't need your counsel. I'm big enough to handle it on my own. I'll do it my way. By the way, good luck with your way. Good luck with my way. I don't know why we would not choose to go with one who knows all things. Amen. All the attributes of God are in Jesus. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. All those things are available to us. He wants to be your counselor today. He wants to help you through the seasons of your life. And for a lot of us, we're going through a crazy season. We're going through a season of pandemic. And there's a lot of people who are like, oh, what do I do? They're just going crazy. And there's a lot of people like, what's true? What's not true? I want to let you know what's true is we have a wonderful counselor who is truth. Amen? And he's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. We may not always see 3 weeks out, but he promises for us to see what we need to see for today, to give us what we need for today. He is a wonderful counselor. And my whole desire for you is, what will you do with the wonderful counselor? Will you just say, will you ignore him or will you accept him? And I want to let you know today that he loves you and he cares for you. He wants to take you to a good place. He wants to take you to a place of victory. He wants to take you to a place of abundance. But you have to choose. Will you do it your way, or will you listen to the great counselor, the wonderful counselor, who does things that are beyond our ability, that are out of this world? We got to choose to say, Lord, you are my Lord. Whatever you want, I'm in. I'm 100% in. Count me in. And that's the word that I have for you today. Do you receive God's word this morning? All right, I hope so, because we have a great God who loves us so much, who cares for us so much, that has our best intentions in so much. He is a wonderful counselor. He wants to lead us to that place. Ultimately, what he wants to do, folks, is he wants to lead us into eternity with his Father. He wants to be the one who gives us counsel on how to get to God. And there's a lot of religions, there's a lot of denominations, there's a lot of people that say, yes, there's multiple ways to God. There's hundreds of ways to God. There's you do this, you do that. There's all these ways to God. But the wonderful counselor comes. And what does the wonderful counselor say in John chapter 14, verse 6? Does anybody know? The wonderful counselor says these words. He says, hey, to his disciples, he says, I am the what? The way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And no one comes to me. No one comes to the Father but by me. So what we're doing is we're getting wonderful counseling that Jesus is saying, hey, I'm the way. And the world's pulling at us. No, there's all these different ways. If you're a good person, if you do more good than bad, if you help the poor, give to the needy. Those are all good things. But ultimately, he's the counselor that says, hey, I'm the way. I am the life. I'm the truth. I'm the way to the Father. That's just one form of many counselings that he wants to provide for you today so you can live a life that is abundant. My prayer is that we'll choose him. We'll choose him to direct and guide our lives and that we won't rely upon ourselves. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Thank you, Jesus, that you're not this far-off deity sitting in a hammock, sipping lemonade, wondering what's going on down in the world. But Jesus, you are personal. You are there for us, right where we live. And you want to be with us, and you want to show us the way to the Father. You want to show us the way to life and the full life that you have for us. And Lord, I just pray that you'd just stir up our hearts this week. And Holy Spirit, I just ask that you'd be at work in all of us. Help us to listen to your voice. Help us to trust you. Lord, it's so easy to put dependence upon ourselves, but help us to trust you with all of our hearts and lean not upon our own understanding, but acknowledge you in all of our ways. And you promised that you would make our path straight. So Lord, we ask for your help. We ask for your direction, your guidance in our lives, because we know that you do all things. You do all things well and good. So Lord, I just ask that you'd speak to us throughout this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.